Greetings, Lydell. This is Bob Roush, your host to the new Grace Radio series, Voices. Neighbors talking to neighbors about things of community interest. This Voices interview with Pastor Morris Santangelo will be broadcast in two segments. Today is part one of two. Hope you enjoy it. Our guest today is pastor and author Morris Santangelo, pastor of New Beginnings Church, author of the book Grace Thoughts, who's with us today to talk about a subject that I think will be of interest to you. You know, friends, this is a crazy time we're living in. The news is interesting, to say the least. And I think sometimes we get caught up in the everyday, the mundane. We get sucked down into detail. And I think sometimes we just need to step back and take a look at the big picture. And Pastor Morris and I were talking recently about some things concerning our founding fathers that just struck me as incredibly interesting. And I thought you might be interested in hearing about them today. So, Pastor Morris, welcome. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate you inviting me back to this wonderful place to be on the Voices program, which, by the way, I love.
You know, thank you.
It was an inspiration from God.
Amen. It
really
was. Yes, it was.
To have this program,
it's
always an honor for me to be on it.
Well, yeah, Morris, you talked about some big picture type stuff that concerning the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, that just struck me as new information. It was like a revelation. It wasn't weird in that we'd never heard it before, but it was put together in such a way as like, duh, of course, this is what our country's all about.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you've been reading and what you've been putting together here?
This is, confession is good for the soul. I wish I'd have paid more attention to history when I was in school, you know? But I didn't, and I don't know if I'd have got the straight story. But there's a man, his name is David Barton, and he has a ministry called Wall Builders, W-A-L-L, Wall Builders. And I got interested in David because I saw him a few times on TV, and he was talking about things I just didn't know about our country and who we are and where we came from, why we are the way we are. And that sparked an interest, and I've been listening to David for some time now and studying and reaching out from him and learning some things about who we are as a nation and how we got where we are. You know, we've heard the Declaration of Independence, you know, that's July 4th, the fireworks and all the rest of it. But I never thought much about it. I've read it several times, the real heart of it. And David opened up some things to me that, which I had mentioned to you, that you thought were interesting that I just didn't know. I just didn't know. The Bible says that, you know, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. There's some things we ought to know. As you call it, the big picture, we need to get back to how did we get here? You know, why do we do what we do? It's like when we meet people, where y'all from? You know, when you hear that accent, they're from New York or California or Deep South or something. So we want to know about people, where they came from. It gives us some insight as to who they are. So these documents give us insight into who we are as a nation. Yeah, the first 155 words of the Declaration of Independence, it's just brief, so let me read it, okay?
Okay.
All right, that'd be good. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal stations to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to separate. So, this is what this document is. He said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable or unalienable, same word, rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new governments. Pretty powerful words. What David did was extracted out of that some thoughts, five principles he calls them. The first one is, we are who we are because our government acknowledges the existence of God. We are the only nation in the world that in its founding documents says that.
Amazing.
Now, that's amazing, isn't
amazing.
It?
Amazing, absolutely.
You know? Now, they may say that there is a God, but to acknowledge the existence of this God as a creator, you know, he's bigger than something you could carve out of a stick or somebody's idea. So, you know, first of all, it's acknowledging God. Secondly, every individual is endowed by this Creator with certain inalienable rights. And these inalienable rights are rights that God gives us. They're a part of who we are. It's our DNA, if you will. And nobody can take them away. If government gives you the right to live, then government can take that right away from you, if it's so desired. And that's happened in history ad infinitum. The third thing is, government exists to protect those inalienable rights. The government recognizes where they came from, and the government exists to protect them so nobody can take them away from them. Not the government, not another person, not a collective committee meeting, not the popular vote. Nothing can take those away. Number four, God provided us with a fixed moral law. And it's really highlighted in what we call the Ten Commandments, but there are other places where you can find it. But it's don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't rob, don't do things that interfere with your neighbor's life, in other words, those moral laws, okay? And then number five, in the matters of what he calls social compact law, majority rules. If we decide that out on this boulevard where those cars are driving by, the speed limit, we can decide whether it's going to be 45, 55, 75, or 25. You know, we can collectively agree to that. But those are the five basic fundamental things that David Barton extracted from those 155 words.
Back to the big picture type thing. The Creator of the universe gave us gifts, gave us rights, but it's the purpose of the government to protect those rights.
Yeah, isn't that a powerful thing?
Not to take rights away from individuals, or not to give rights to individuals, but to protect what God Himself has given to each one individually. And I think that was the thought that really just blew my mind when we were talking about this earlier, that a country who seems to be free to be able to make rules that are contradictory to what God gave us is a violation of our most basic documents for the formation of this country.
Yeah, and these rights didn't come into existence with the Declaration of Independence or with our U.S. Constitution. They didn't come into existence with anybody's governmental documents. These rights preceded that all the way back to the very beginning. And of course, from a biblical perspective, when you look at the book of Genesis, you know, God creates Adam and Eve, and, you know, time goes, marches on, and they got a couple of kids. And then two boys, siblings, get in an argument, and one kills the other one. God brought that sibling to task for taking away something that he didn't have the right to take away, and that was the right to live between Cain and Abel. And when that was taken away, he violated an inalienable right, and he suffered the consequences of that. So this is not something new. What our founding fathers did was assimilated all of this information into a document that we could look at and live by and have our governmental system. And to go on, one of the things that we had talked about earlier is that this, in my mind, and I don't know where I got this from, there was a Declaration of Independence, and then X number of years later, not too many years later, the Constitution was put together. So in my mind, I thought, well, you just take the Declaration of Independence, tear it up and throw it away because this has been superseded by something else.
The Constitution, yeah.
And that's not true. What the Declaration of Independence says is that we have certain rights. And then the Constitution was put together to tell us how we are to deal with those rights and other things. For instance, the Bill of Rights, which is the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, deal with those rights. Let's talk about one of them, which is in the news today and the presidential election and all the other things that are going on, is the right to bear arms. That is a right to life, an inalienable right that we have. And we have the right to protect our lives. The guys who wrote the Constitution said, we have the right to bear arms. The primary reason that we would bear arms is not to attack someone, but to preserve our own rights. And that right is the right that God gave us to live. So I can do, and the government says that one of the ways that you can we can protect your life is to recognize that you have the right to bear arms.
Morris, this whole discussion is just really blowing me away to be able to see how much sense this makes. You know, like you, I thought the Declaration of Independence was saying, hey, King, we're out of here. We're going to do our own deal. See you around. But they, in fact, put in place with the Declaration of Independence the very building blocks that we've continued to build on for 250-plus years,
sure,
putting this country together, and the Constitution being the stepping stones, the reality of making it happen. And, you know, it maybe just goes even further. I've heard it said recently that perhaps the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence has outlived its usefulness, that perhaps we need to update this outdated document and put our society together in a different way. That is such a fundamental slap in the face of what this country was intended to be. The joy, the blessing, the peace that comes with living in America cannot continue if we change the building. If we dig the foundation out from underneath the building, it's a recipe for trouble.
Yeah, we don't know what we would come up with today. Based on the political correctness of the age that we live in, there's no telling what kind of document would be created. This document was created with, you know, it had to be God-inspired. That these guys were inspired to see this, that these rights that we have, in fact, it says this in those 155 words that we just read, it says, to secure these rights, what rights? These inalienable rights.
Yes.
That God gave. To secure them, governments are instituted among men. So the first number one thing that the government does for us is to make sure nobody messes with these rights that have been given to us by God. When you understand that, then you realize that the government needs to be limited to those things.
Yes.
You know? And when it gets involved in other things, then we need to understand what those other things are. They are common laws about speed limits and the height of buildings and, you know, all the other things that government come up with. But these untouchable things, these unalienable rights, the right to worship, you know, it says life, liberty. We have the right to liberty, not the right to license. I'd had a discussion with someone just recently about that. They said that we have the right to burn the American flag. No, you don't. You have liberty. You do not have license. That is license. It's like, I don't have the right to go tear down a Washington Monument. I don't have the right to paint graffiti on the White House. There are things that I do not have that license to do. I have some rights. I have the right to liberty. But that liberty recognizes you and your rights not to hurt you and infringe upon you. It's so integrated, but to understand that government must take care of these rights. In fact, when the Founding Fathers decided to put together a Constitution in the what we call the United States, because they were not a United States, they just had this Declaration of Independence, the primary issue was to have a united army, to protect ourselves as a nation. That was the number one reason for having the United States of America. And in fact, I know, I hope I'm not going on too far with this, but you've heard the phrase states' rights. When they formed the Constitution, one of the big issues that they dealt with is that the government, the federal government, would not interfere with the rights of states to govern themselves. So that California can be different from Louisiana, or New York can be different from Washington State. And that's our states' rights. But what's happened now is the federal government is infringing upon the states' rights, and they say they want to make us into some homogeneous melting pot based on what they think it ought to be. And life in the South is different than it is in the North. We're not shoveling snow. You know, we're dealing with water. You know, it's different down here. So these governmental documents, this particular document, is just filled with good stuff.
Look at the political situation now and get so involved with the minutiae that it's important for us to take a moment like this and back up. Where did this come from? Where was it intended to go? And are we on the same path? Mm-hmm. And it really is helpful to be able to go back and say, we're not legislating morality. We cannot legislate immorality all we can do is protect that which God placed in the first place.
Yes, and then beyond that, and this gets to the point of one of the building blocks of who we are, is we are a Christian nation. Now, it's been said of late, in fact, the President of the United States said that we're not a Christian nation. Well, what he did is he looked at the behavior of some people who maybe aren't going to church and said, well, we're not a Christian nation. Let's go back to even before the Declaration of Independence. Christopher Columbus, that good old Italian boy who got in and made a deal with the Spaniards to finance his trip. That's a pretty good deal, you know.
You talk
about the art of the deal. That's a deal.
He's amazing.
His diary, which he wrote, and I read parts of it, he believed that God was sending him on a mission to the new world. In his diary, writes a big length about that. So he believed that God was sending him, all right? Fast forward a little bit. We have our wonderful pilgrims who showed up, you know, with the big hats and the big buckles on their belts and, you know, the old muskets. They believed that God sent them here for the reason, the sole reason, to have religious freedom. This is where it gets complicated. It's not that they wanted to say, okay, you could have Buddhism and you could have Islam or all these other things. They came here to religious Christian freedom. That's what they wanted. They didn't want the Church of England controlling them. They wanted the liberty to worship God in the way they wanted. So that's why they came here. Now, the way the laws are written, and they're good laws, if you want to be a Muslim, you can come here. That's all right with us. But don't come here and not know who we are. We are a nation founded on Judeo-Christian values that we believe were derived from our relationship to God. So that, Bob, if you want to worship God by raising your hands, go ahead and do it. If I want to worship God by kneeling on the floor, I can go ahead and do it. But neither one of us have the right to say that God does not exist and that we're going to take away your Bible from you. That would be an interference in your inalienable right of worshiping God. That is defined in the Constitution. Government cannot interfere with and regulate our religious liberty that we have from God. So it's important for us to know that and to hold to these values. If you strip away these inalienable rights and replace them with some other kind of man-generated law, you'll have a nation like all the other nations.
Thank you, Morris, for part one of this most insightful discussion about the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and our American heritage. We look forward to hearing part two of this message over the Thanksgiving holidays.
Thank God for bringing up a guy like David Barton to inspire us all.
Amen. Well, it's good thinking, it's fresh thinking, it's helpful thinking to help us to walk out of the maze that we've found ourselves in for the last couple of years and to the light of reality. And the reality is God's on his throne.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Pastor Barsh. We really appreciate your time and your study and your effort and your willingness to share that with us. We're blessed. Thank you.
Amen. You're welcome. Glad to be here. Maybe you'll ask me back again.
Perhaps I will. And thank you, Slidell, for tuning in to Grace Radio. We want to hear from you. You can give us a call at 985-250-1037. If you have comments about anything you've heard in this broadcast today, or if you have comments about other things that you've heard at the station or things that we can do different, we'd love to hear from you. We'd also encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio of Slidell. And you can tune in to graceradioofslidell.net, where you can leave a tax-deductible donation. We are supported by listeners just like you, and we need your support. And again, give us a call, 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now, Slidell. You can hear voices every day at 10 and 3 p.m., and I look forward to talking to you again. Get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.